Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Australian war stories, very powerful, empowers our mob and enlightens the future, the platform for us to go ahead and move ahead. We're going to catch up a yarn now with historian Elizabeth Heffernan and talk about the project of the Australian war stories. On the line, Liz, very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trev. I'm going good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, Australian War Stories, very powerful, and you're running the project for this as a historian. So tell us about this space.
Yeah. So I'm the project historian with Australian War Stories, and it's basically this new online platform where people can research, you know, their Anzac ancestors or an Anzac from their community. Mm-hmm. And you can really trace their individual war timeline, you know, from their enlistment and embarkation, their unit details. And, yeah, it's just a really personal story of what they did in the war. And you can really connect to that, you know, even 100 years in the future, basically, from when all this happened.
Yeah. Exactly. Can you share some of the stories with us?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, we've been publishing a few articles this week about some notable Anzacs. So, you know, there's a nurse, Olive Haynes, who had a great story. You know, she enlisted and was working over there in the general hospital, and she held wounded soldiers, you know, while they died, and it was just a really powerful and awful experience for her. And it wasn't just soldiers who were, you know, going through all this stuff. It was nurses and other personnel as well, doctors and everything. And I know your radio station's based in Cairns, and there's another, you know, great story of an Aboriginal digger, Valentine Hare, who enlisted in 1917, and he fought with the Light Horse in the Sinai-Palestine campaign in the Middle East. So, you know, that was really powerful. He was wounded in battle and came home in 1918. And yeah, you can trace his story on Australian War Stories and anyone else's. And it just really provides that window, that personalised window into the past, really.
And when you talk about stories, war stories, and talk about especially First Nation soldiers, because back in the day, they weren't even spoken of, you know what I mean? And they fought for their country alongside non-Indigenous soldiers, but then came back and still classed as second citizens, you know, and discrimination was very strong back then. So this shows that the power of the recognition, acknowledgement of these soldiers, men and women, and black soldiers at that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, like when the war broke out in 1914, technically Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men and women weren't allowed to enlist. And, you know, a lot of them enlisted anyway and just didn't mention that on their enlistment forms, or they enlisted a bit later when some restrictions were relaxed. But, yeah, it was a really difficult time to be in, you know, in the Australian Army and be an Indigenous soldier or even a nurse. And yeah, when they came back from the war, definitely they were faced with that same discrimination.
Exactly.
You know, nothing had really changed. And I think now, 100 years later, it's really important to trace those stories in particular.
Yes.
So, you know, over 1,000 Indigenous soldiers have now been identified. There are only about 300 identified back in the 80s. So we're really still uncovering their stories. And I think it's just, yeah, really so important to find those connections and tell those tell those truths, basically, yeah.
Exactly, Liz. And when you look at Australian war stories and to hear the truth, especially of our Indigenous soldiers, Australian war stories, and it's a, you could say, a good bridge builder, you know, in regards to lest we forget. Now that our black stories are being told and they're being recognised, you know, with us in spirit, but it empowers our families of the generations of those soldiers to continue on their path into the future, yes?
Yes, absolutely. A great bridge builder and, you know, a great starting point to sort of really delve down into more of this history and make those connections to today and, yeah, tell these really important stories. It's just a fantastic, starting point and bridge for sure.
Well, I've always said Australia's got a history, black or white, good or bad, but the history is a history. And this is part of the history. Our Indigenous soldiers did fight for this country and we are living in a good country because of that, black and white.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
So fantastic. So with the stories, how can they be found and how can people read more about the stories?
Yeah, so the website where you can learn about your ANZAC, you know, ancestor community member is australianwarstories.memories.com.au. So, you know, you just head on over to that website and you register and put in a name of whoever you want to research, a nurse or a soldier, anyone, and yeah, hopefully you can find an individualised timeline for their war service that, you know, has a lot of detail but is also a starting point into maybe some more research you want to conduct, you know, into that history.
Fantastic. Mm. And can people add to that and regarding stories that you may not have or share their stories with their ancestors with you guys?
At the moment, there's no process for adding to it, but there might be something later on in the future, for sure. And definitely we would love to, jump off from that. But it's definitely a starting point for people to do their own research and maybe there's pathways for that beyond the website. Yeah, for sure.
Well, this was a very deadly story, so thank you very much, Liz, and all the best to you and your team and your family. Stay safe and look, we'll yarn soon. And all the best. You take care.
Yeah, thanks so much. You too, Trev. Cheers.
Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there. Elizabeth Heffernan, her name is, and historian, and she's the historian project for the Australian War Stories. But do check it out, australianwarstories.memories.com.au. Read about all those deadly stories about First Nations soldiers, men and women, that were part of keeping this country safe and alive. And we can probably emphasise, lest we forget. There it is. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
The first time I saw my baby begin to walk, it made me look. Now he can talk. And the last time I phoned my baby, it made him cry. And it made me cry. Now I know why. 'Cause he's starting to understand the meaning of love. No, I can't talk to my baby on the telephone when we're not at home and he's all alone. Oh, but I know what's going on in his mind when we're away. He'd like to say, come home to stay. And he is starting to understand the meaning of love. Yes, he's starting to understand the meaning of love.
wish I knew my own two sons when they were like him. Oh, but memories are dim. When he holds me tight and we share a kiss. Oh, I wonder, was it like this? And sometimes I think my baby is a wise old man. He helps me understand my little friend. And now I'm starting to understand the meaning of love. Yes, I'm starting to understand the meaning. Yes, I'm starting to understand the meaning of love. Yes, I'm starting to understand the meaning of love.
And I'm starting to understand the meaning of love. Yes, I'm starting to understand the meaning of
Here I am, just one man with fear deep in my soul. Hey, do you feel the same? Are you feeling pain about these troubled times? This modern life, trouble and strife. It seems we're deeper in each day. Might be the way that we're living. Might be some things we're forgetting. How long does this go on until the light of day? Look around us now. Look at all we've done. Poison in the rivers, darkened in the sun. Poison in the sea, the very air we breathe. And nowhere safe to run, there's nowhere left to hide. Warning bells keep ringing, last chance for a new beginning. How long does this go on until the light of day? Look at Mother Nature and all she gives. And all she ever asks, she says, live and let live. But we're living in a world where greed is king. It's easy to forget simple things. Warning bells keep ringing, last chance for a new beginning. How long does this go on?
to Mother Nature. She's dressed in black. Hey, look at you now, Mother Earth. Don't turn your back. She says, I give you everything, but you don't give back. And no one's gonna pay. I'm hearing children say, if we let it all slip away. Warning bells keep ringing, life's a chance for a new beginning. How long does this go on until the light of day?
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.
Took a trip on down to Derby. Didn't know how far I'd get. In an old wagon. Now the Kimberley Highway runs on down the land of my country. Driving through the rain, yeah, I was so at ease. No more fancy lights or streets. Baby, you're the place I wanna be. A place of history. Baby, you're the place I wanna be. Against that old poem tree. To the dry red land, I could see the sky open up so clear and wide. Now the Fitzroy River runs from the ranges down in the desert and back to the sea. Baby, you're the place I wanna be. Of history. Maybe you're the place I wanna be. Against that old oak tree. Strong. And someone said, where you from? Baby, you're the place I wanna be. A place of history. Baby, you're the place I wanna be. Salt breeze blowing. See, against that old poet tree,
against that old Moab tree.
You ready, Mark?
Yes, I'm ready.
You ready to go? Here we go.
Well, it's the last fair deal going down. Well, it's the last fair deal going down. Well, it's the last fair deal going down. Good Lord. On that Gulfport Island road, Ida Mae, don't you cry this time. Ida Mae, don't you cry this time. Well, if you cry about a nickel, you die about a dime. You wouldn't cry, but the money won't mind. Well, my captain, so mean on me. Well, my captain's so mean on me. Well, my captain's so mean on me. Good Lord, on that Gulfport Island road.
Oh, Mike, let's play a bit.
You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it. Strap on.
Lives in harmony from the desert to the sea. Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Northern Peninsula area. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go, go, go.
It's the Batman Kids.
Go, go, go.
Rapping NPA.
Go, go, go.
What you doing?
Go, go, go.
About 6 in the morning, hopped in the dinghy, me and Bella Bouti with 500 in pity. Heading to the shooting swamp for some piggy. With the cruise east coast, got gun dogs, machetes. 1, 2, load up the bullet. 3, 4, cock it and pull it. 5, 6, popped him in the air. It's gone 7, 8, 9. Now the buru means dead.
Hands up, hands up, mata push for you. Cause I one bun small, suss it out, mata cruise. Yeah, you know how we roll, it's the Pamega Kids. Where the ballers, what is that? Red dust, Nick team.
Life's fun up here in the NPA.
Yeah.
There's not much to do, but it's deadly anyway. Chilling with our titters and having a yarn. Tear it up at the disco and dog him hard won.
She likes a gazebo, listening for the music. We flop up in our head because we not alive. Turning off the radio, you feeling it?
Yeah.
Bala press, mata me patitos, I be play tight.
Hands up, mata press, go youth. Cause I one run small, suss it out, mata cruise. Yeah, you know how we roll, it's the band with the kids. Where the shit is, what it thanks, red dust, native.
Walking down the main street with the danger beat. And we're looking so gorgeous, are you feeling the heat? Pop, pop, lock and drop it, I'ma roll it around. And then we throw it on down all the way to the ground.
Bala Trey Vecchia in the NPA. We're representing all the people from around this place. Mipla all ballas make it brand new. Sing no blast them over mark but by telling a ring.
Hands up, mata push for you. Cause I one bun small, suss it out, mata cruise. Yeah, you know how we roll, it's the Pamega Kids. Where the ballas, what is that? Red dust, Nick team.
Hands up, mata press for you. Cause I one bun small, suss it out, mata cruise. Yeah, you know how we roll, it's the Pamega Kids. Where the
what get on your mouth? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah. My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your saber calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Here we are, travelling into another Anzac Day upon us. Look, we're going to catch up with Daddy Brother Edwin James Maimai, Waka Waka Man on the line. Very good morning, my brother. How are you?
Not too bad. Good morning to you too.
Thank you very much for coming to the program, brother. So before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, I'm Waka Waka and from a little place called Gaynda, west of Bundaberg there.
Beautiful, fantastic, brother. Now, a retired warrant officer, Class 2 Royal Australian Infantry Corps, Australian Regular Army. So tell us about your journey, brother. When did you enlist and how long, brother?
Yeah, I left little hometown Gaynda in 1985, joined the Army from there. Then did all my training. I ended up in Townsville with the... the first battalion, was one of the infantry battalions up there, and over my 24 years in the Army, did a number of postings along the East Coast, mainly down to Singleton, down the Hunter Valley, Canungra and Brisbane as well, but spent most of my time up in Townsville.
Mm. Fantastic, brother. And let's talk about medals and awards, brother. Achieved a few?
Yeah, I was lucky enough... four deployments. Somalia was my first one in 93. East Timor in 99. I went back there again in 2003. And my last was Iraq 2004-2005.
Fantastic, brother. And look, hats off to you. Was it always your vision, your dream, your passion to join the forces?
It was a bit like I was lucky enough. I had an uncle who was a Vietnam veteran. Unfortunately, he's passed away now. By the name of Uncle Harry Maimai.
Yep.
And he was a bit like a role model for me. So as a young fella, and when you saw him at home with the uniform, and the story goes, my mum has always said that when you used to see him, you always wanted to say you want to be like your uncle when you get older. So that was the progression of it. And I was lucky enough, I went to the 1st Battalion in Townsville, and that was the same battalion my uncle served with when they went over to Vietnam back in 1965.
Sure. Fantastic, brother. And as a First Nation man joining the forces, how was your treatment with non-Indigenous soldiers?
It was interesting, you can put it that way.
Yep.
Some of the things, there would be things that would be said, but me coming from a country town and... I was brought up, I had pretty thick skin.
Yep.
And some of the times, like I always used to say, you give as good as you get.
For sure that, brother, you know. And was there a lot of Murrays, a lot of First Nation soldiers enlisted at the time you enlisted?
There were a few in when I was down at Wagga, which is Kapuka, where the recruit centre was. But within my platoon, I was the only one. I always... And every now and then we send our old photos back, and I'll always send my platoon photo, recruit photo that I had, and I'll go and have a little comment and say, pick the one that stands out.
Little
dark in front of all these other white guys.
Yeah, brother, represent, brother, represent. And what sort of work did you do in the Army, bro?
Yeah, I was infantry, so I worked my way up the ranks up. Private all the way up to the warrant officer. So I was a section commander, so I was a commander of a 9-man team, and that was my. And as you progress, sergeant, you looked after a progression of close to 30.
Yep.
And when you get to the warrant officer, that number increases, but you also do a lot of training through the times, and I spent a number of years in training establishments, passing on the knowledge that I picked up when I was going through.
Sure.
And also making sure that they had the right information where they could go and do their jobs
So you had soldiers working underneath you, and how was your leadership school, so to speak, brother?
As all my the officers and all that who were above me, the way they did, used to put it in the reports, from what I remember, has a relaxed style of leadership, but very effective.
Yes. Well, no matter what we're doing, whether you're a manager of a retail shop or a football coach or a warrant officer, it's dealing with people, isn't it, brother?
Yeah, it is. It is. And you've got to be able to know how to deal with certain people as you progress through whatever you're doing. That's it. And you're doing through life. It's a continuation.
Fantastic, brother. And so retired now from the forces?
Yeah, retired now. Did me 24 years. So, as I put it, I'm starting to get a bit too old. It's a young man's game. And young women's game too.
Yes, yes. And hats off to our beautiful women out there in the forces, but women around the globe, yes.
And I know one especially. She's the same rank as me as a warrant officer. She's out now. She's doing a lot of good work with the in the veteran space.
Good.
To say hello to Lorraine Hatton.
Yes, Lorraine, fantastic. Hats off to you, sister. In regard to your job now, what are you doing now then, Brother Edwin?
Yeah, I'm a cultural heritage field supervisor for a company that's doing some work up at around Greenvale, where the towns will be.
Yes.
So mainly engaging with all the elders, making sure the areas that they want to do the project on is culturally cleared, and if there's something that's something found, make sure we put the appropriate measures in to make sure it doesn't get destroyed, or we can be able to move things into safe areas.
Beautiful, fantastic, good space you're working in. And regarding Anzac, brother, do you march on the day?
Yeah, I march on the day. I march with the guys from battalion that I serve with.
Good.
It's a great day to catch up, because some of the times we don't catch up during the year, and just to see where everybody is and how they're going as well. A lot of issues with veteran suicide,
yes,
and homelessness also. So you just want to make sure.
That's what we're talking about. Thank you very much for joining us here, Edwin, and look, all the best to you and your deadly family there, my brother. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and most importantly, stay safe, Edwin.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good yarning with you, brother. You take care, eh?
You too. Catch up.
Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there. Edwin James Maimai, Waka Waka man and a retired warrant officer, Class 2, Royal Australian Infantry Corps, Australian Regular Army. Look, doing a fantastic job there, remembering his time there, 24 years with the forces, and look, representing our mob as well as this country. So Anzac Day, lest we forget. Have your say, you mob. Yarn up strong here on National Talk Black with the Bally One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. Taking right up to 12 noon Queensland time. That daily number, 1-800-422-416.